Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I was telling him in the first service after that video, I feel like we could just go home. It's just what an amazing, amazing story. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, one of the things that we like to do as we come together week after week is just to give you the chance to be able to hear the stories of the people who are sitting right next to you, for you to be able to hear how God's working in their lives. And it's one thing for Justin to sit up here and as he's walking us through silence to tell us that, listen, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, that God's pursuing you. And it's one thing for him to share that with us as an idea, but then when you're able to hear the stories of the people who are sitting right next to you and how God has pursued them and how God's changed their lives, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it allows us to be able to see that this is not just an idea, that this is true and real. And I hope that as you're here today, and especially for those of you who are here, and maybe you've been here a few times, or maybe this is your first time walking in, it's really important for you to know. There's a lot of things that we do as we come together on Sunday mornings. There's things we're going to talk about, and we're going to get to circles in a little bit, and things that we learn, and things that we're going to sing, and all that. But most important, the most important thing about today is our experience of him. And as you hear Marcy's story, I hope that for those of you who are here and you're still closed to what God wants to do in you and through you and how God wants to love you, I just pray that maybe this morning, as we walk through this morning together, that you just open up, even just a little, to the reality of how God loves you. And more than anything, we want that to be what you know and experience today. And as you walk in today, we are walking into a series, or we're actually coming to the end of a series called Circles. And we're going to be closing this out. We've been in this conversation now for a couple weeks. And here at Hoboken Grace, we do these things called series, where it's basically 4 to 6 weeks where we'll look at a truth about who God is, or how God relates to us, or how we relate to him, and what he's teaching us, instructing us as our Father, and how to be able to navigate this journey. And we've been doing that for the past couple weeks as it pertains to community, specifically healthy community. Not just knowing about each other, but actually knowing one another, being known and loved, and knowing and loving, and the reality that for so many of us, we hide, and there's this natural tendency in our lives to hide, but then Jesus is showing us this, the incredible value of community, the priority he puts on it, and everything that he's poured into it. And as we've looked at that, we've seen and we've heard God calling us into this. And then we started to look at how then do we do that, and what does that look like on a practical basis, on a day in, day out basis. And we started to look at the life of Paul and the examples in the New Testament. How did they do this? And it's interesting because when we do that, when you start to look at their lives, you see that there are, or it seems that there are, these circles of relationships and these circles that seem to be crucial in our development of this healthy community. And we started and looked at how Paul has, how in the life of Paul, as he's instructing others, there's this idea, and then also with Jesus and the disciples, and when you look at Proverbs, it champions it over, there's this idea of a circle of advisors, or this idea of mentorship, that you need to have mentors in your life. You need those wise advisors who are able to speak into your journey and help you navigate that journey. And then last week, we continued, and we looked at how in Paul's life, not only do you see this mentorship idea, but then you also see that Paul never travels anywhere alone. And so he has these companions and these individuals who are along the journey with him and journeying with him and engaging life with him. And we looked at how the scriptures, again, not only do we see in the example of Paul, but how the scriptures are championing friendship and championing this role or this circle of companions, where these people who know you are engaging the journey with you. And we looked at how God's teaching us to not just have this circle, but to be wise about this circle and how they influence us, and to make sure that those who are influencing us the most are influencing us in the direction in which God is leading us. And I want to talk about this for just one second, because I had a couple conversations coming out of last week. If you were with us last week, if you weren't, you can go back and listen to it online, watch it online. It's one of the great things about technology. It allows us to be able to do that and to journey together that way. But coming out of last week, one of the things that I heard several times, and I just want to speak to it really quickly, is several people walked out of and said, okay, you're telling me I need to be careful with this circle of companions. Are you saying that I need to make sure that all of my friends are following Christ? And I said to each and every one of them, listen, that couldn't be farther from what Jesus is calling us to. He's not calling us to separate ourselves from the fool. He's not calling us to, listen, there shouldn't be any people who struggle in your life. Make sure you just surround yourself with people who are wise and have it all together. No. God's calling us to engage the world around us, no matter where they are, no matter what's happening in their life, He's calling us to engage that. But he's saying, as we're engaging that, and with the friends that we have, and we should have friends who are on all different places on this journey. And Jesus calls us to intentionally make sure that we're building relationships with and that we are friends with people who don't know Christ. Because, I mean, just hearing Marcy say that, it breaks my heart when she says, I just didn't know. And the reality is that our world is filled with people who they just don't know. And we work next to him and live next to him. And Jesus is calling us to intentionally be building relationships with people so that we can say, listen, God loves you. God's pursuing you. That we're able to let them know. But at the same time, he's saying, when it comes to that inner circle, those close companions, those ones who have the most influence in your life, just make sure you're careful with that circle. And make sure that they're moving in the direction that you want to move, because they will influence your future. And so I want to make sure that we're clear on that, and that we don't end up somewhere that couldn't be farther from where Jesus wants us to be. But we looked at these circles, the mentor circle and the companions in our life. But then also, as we come to this week, there's another circle that I think that God is trying to call us to, or God is inviting us into as we're on this journey. Another critical circle, if we're going to be building healthy community, creating. Remember, community is not found, it's created. If we're going to be creating healthy community. This one, as a matter of fact, is probably the most talked about circle in all of the New Testament. And when you look at the different circles, you see different emphasis on different ones at different points throughout the biblical narrative. But when you get to the New Testament in particular, and the launch of the church, this one, the one that we're going to look at today, is probably the most talked about. And you see it show up over and over and over again. You see instruction about it over and over and over again. And to introduce it, I want to actually take you back to a passage that we looked at a couple weeks ago, because it's a flip of our first circle. So when you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, which is the verse that we looked at when we looked at the idea of mentorship, and you saw Paul's relationship to Timothy, it says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. And you see this relationship of mentor-mentee between Paul and Timothy. Not only do I think that in this relationship of Paul and Timothy does it illustrate the fact that you need mentors, but then again, obviously, there's a flip side to that. So not only does Timothy have a Paul, but then Paul very intentionally has a Timothy. Paul very intentionally has Timothys in his life. And as you read through the books that Paul writes, you see that Timothy was not the only person that he's investing in. He was not the only mentee for Paul, but that he had a whole circle of people that he was investing in and pouring into. And even as Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, you see that not only is this something that Paul wants for Timothy to experience as he invests in him, but then he also instructs Timothy in this. Listen to what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, you have heard me teach these things. This is Paul writing to Timothy. So this is the mentor writing to the mentee. He says, you have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. He says, so here's what I want you to do. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. He says, okay, Timothy, now I've been this mentor to you, And you've been able to experience that from me. And so he says, what I want you to do is I want you to take what you've received from me, the things that I've taught you, and I want you to teach them to someone else. But I love this passage because not only does he say, I want you to take what you've received from me and teach it to someone else, but then he also says, and make sure that they receive from you and teach to someone else. And he's setting up this chain of events or this domino effect, right? Where listen, not only do you need to have mentors in your life, not only do you need to have Pauls in your life, but you need to develop in your life a circle of Timothys. You need people that you're investing in. Timothy's, the mentees in your life, the people that you're pouring into, that you're helping to understand, okay, this is who God is and this is how God works. You need that. It isn't just demonstrated in Paul's relationship with Timothy. It isn't just instructed when you look at 2 Timothy 2. Obviously, this is a huge part of the mission that Jesus gives us, because when he sends his disciples out, he says, listen, I'm going to leave you guys, which freaks them out, but he says, this is going to be okay, but here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Go make disciples. What is he saying? Go find Timothy's. You need to find people that you can invest in, that you're going to pour into. And he's demonstrated with them what it looks like. He spent 3 years pouring into these guys, investing in these guys. He says, okay, now what I want you to do is do the same thing for someone else. Go make disciples. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, not only do I want you to make disciples, but I want you to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And this idea that we're not just receiving in community, we're not just sharing in community, but that we're giving in community. And healthy community requires all three. And throughout the New Testament, you see this demonstration of these circles that you need to develop, those advisors, you need to develop the companions, you need to develop the Timothys in your life, the people that you're going to pour into. Now I know as soon as we start having this conversation, there's all sorts of pushback. And all sorts of different reasons, and I would propose to you all sorts of different lies that we buy into in our mind around this idea of apprenticeship or mentees. There are all these lies that come into our mind when we begin to have this conversation, and so we push back on this hard. I know this because this is a huge part of who we are as Hoboken Grace. And whenever someone comes up through our leadership system, one of the things that we're trying to teach them is that you need to develop an apprentice. And immediately when we start to have that conversation, there's pushback. And there's all these lies and these myths that surround this and that lead us to, rather than developing this circle, to ignore this circle to our own detriment and the detriment of our community and the community that we're building. And so I just want to spend some time this morning jumping through them. And I think that as we do, you'll see that the example of Jesus breaks down so many of them. And I think the first one that we encounter, and I encounter over and over again, especially as we're developing leaders, you say, man, okay, you need to develop the Timothys. Who are the Timothys in your life? Who are the apprentices in your life? The first thing that you hear is, I'm not an expert. It comes in a variety of different ways. You know, I'm not ready. It's too early for me. I'm not there yet. I'm not an expert. And here, listen. I know there's this idea that in order for me to be a Paul of someone else, I have to have it all figured out. I have to have it all figured out. I hate to share this with you because I know it's going to be difficult for some of you to hear, okay? But you need to hear it. You're never going to have it all figured out. I know it's painful for some of you to hear because you think in 2 years you'll be there. You're never going to be there. You're never going to have it all figured out. You're never going to have all the answers. You're never going to feel like you know enough. Now, if you're here today and you say, no, I am an expert. I do have it figured out. I do know enough. It's just that for some reason, people don't listen to me. Just stay away from people, okay? That's all I ask. All I ask of you is just stay away from people because obviously there's pride, and pride destroys the relationships that we have with the people around us. But But as we're on this journey, I hear it over and over again. I'm not an expert. I don't have it figured out. I haven't been on the journey long enough. You're never going to feel prepared. And listen, that is a healthy tension. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, because what that does is it keeps you dependent on God. When you begin to believe that you have it all figured out, all of a sudden you begin to speak into other people's lives based on your own wisdom, which just destroys people's lives, as opposed to being dependent on God and going to Him. And rather than saying, okay, what do I think I should tell this person, or how do I think I should speak in this person's life, to be driven to the Father over and over and over again, so that we're dependent on Him and say, okay, God, what do you want to tell this person? What do you want to tell this person? I've been on this journey for a little while now, and I'm telling you, even today, I don't feel prepared. But one of the great things about it is that I find myself in conversations. I was just having one this week, and I'm talking to this person, and sometimes in conversation, I just stop talking, and people think I'm just really awkward, which I am awkward, but this makes me more awkward, because one of the things that I've learned to do is, in the middle of conversation, rather than just continuing to speak out of my own wisdom, is to be able to begin to develop the habit of praying while I'm in a conversation with someone. And in that moment, rather than just saying, okay, what do I think they need to hear? What do I, to be able to just pause for a second and say, God, what do you want to say? What does this person need to hear? And it's my feeling, that tension of not feeling prepared, that keeps me there. You don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that. But it also can't be a lie that we buy into that keeps us from developing Timothy's. As Paul's writing to Timothy, one of the things that he says to him is, listen, I know that you're young. He talks about his age, and it would have been really easy for the people around him to look at his age and say, you're not ready. You haven't been on the journey long enough. But Paul says to Timothy, he says, just don't let anyone despise your youth. He says, don't buy into that lie that you can't invest in people because you haven't been on the journey long enough. And sometimes people will say, well, I just got started. I just got started. But the mission of developing disciples is not something that starts when you get to like year 10 of this journey. It's a mission that you're given from day one. From day one. And listen to me. You are not called, right? Write this down. Write this down if you're taking notes, okay? If you're not taking notes, you should for this, okay? But you are not called to be an expert. You are not called to have all the answers. But you are called to take what's been given to you, to take what's in your cup, and to pour it into someone else's. I love the way Andy Stanley talks about this, because he uses this picture. He says, you just take what's poured into your cup and you pour it into someone else's. And listen, you are not responsible to fill their cup. You're not responsible. You're not responsible to make sure that they have everything that they need and to make sure that they're fully prepared and equipped. And you're not responsible for that. But what you are responsible for is to take what's been poured into your cup and pour it into theirs. There was a story in our weekly email this week that was such a beautiful picture of this. And I don't know how many of you got a chance to read it. Well, actually, I do know how many of you clicked on it, but I don't know how many of you actually read it, but based on how many of you clicked on it, many of you missed it. So, look. But it's this amazing story about a mother and a son who were recently baptized here at Hoboken Grace. And the story begins with someone who just took what was in their cup. She's not an expert. She didn't have it all figured out. She doesn't have everything all put together. But she just took what was in her cup, and she decided to pour it into someone else's. And so this mom, she goes to the salon to get her hair cut. And the owner of that salon has been experiencing God in these amazing ways. And so she just started telling her about what she had experienced, just what had been poured into her cup. And over the course of the last couple months, she's come to know Christ. And not only her, but her son has come to know Christ and taken the step of baptism. An unbelievable story. If you get a chance, you know, you can dig it up somewhere in your trash bin and you can read it. Awesome. Awesome story. And it's a beautiful picture of exactly what we're talking about. You don't have to be an expert. You don't need to be an expert. You're not called to be an expert. You don't have to have all the answers. You're not called to be God in their life. You're not called to fill their cup. You can't do it. And you were never expected to. But he does call you. Just take what's in your cup and pour it into theirs. You see throughout the scriptures, this is not something that God's calling us to do when we get to a certain point. It starts from the beginning. I don't know if you ever noticed this about Jesus' plan, but Jesus' plan for who is... He doesn't wait until he gets like halfway through his public ministry to start developing the people who are going to come after him. He starts from day one. You look at Matthew chapter 4, it's talking about the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. It says, from that time on, it's talking about the launch point. It says, Jesus began to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. So he's going public. And the next thing that he does, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And the next thing that he does, right, he says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. And immediately, from the very beginning, and I think when you look at the Great Commission, when you look at Paul's advice to Timothy, what the scriptures are teaching is this isn't something that you develop later. This is something that you do the moment that you step into a relationship with Christ. Just take what's been poured into your cup and pour it into someone else's. And even if you're on day two, that means that you've experienced Christ. Take that and share it with someone who doesn't know. To be able to see a story like Marcy's story become a reality in your life. It's a lie. It's a lie. The next pushback that we experience and that I see a lot is I don't know who to invest in. I don't know where to get started. And the truth is, when you start to shift the way that you look at it, when you start to shift from expert and novice kind of idea, and you begin to look at it as, okay, I'm just taking what's in my cup and giving it to someone else, all you need to do is find someone who's two or three steps behind you. You just need to find someone who's just a little bit behind you, hasn't experienced what you experienced. And the interesting thing is sometimes in life, there will be people who are way ahead of us in one area of life, but truth be told, when it comes to another arena of life, they're a little bit behind. And so you're able to speak into their life and you're able to pour into them in that area of life. Just look around you and you're going to be able to find those people. It's exactly what we talked about at the beginning of the conversation today. Right? We live in a world of people who need to know that God is pursuing them, that God loves them. You're surrounded by them. And so just find one person that doesn't know that and begin to speak into them. Just begin to share what God has shared with you. This isn't something where we wait for people to come to us. I love how Jesus demonstrates this. In Luke chapter 6, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying with God. When the morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. You see that Jesus didn't wait for this to develop in his life, but he intentionally builds it. He intentionally creates it. When Paul's writing to Timothy, again, what is he saying? He said, no, don't just wait for this to happen. You need to do this intentionally. This circle needs to be intentionally built in your life. You say, I don't know who. Just find someone who's a few steps behind you. And maybe you find someone, you're just trying to find someone who hasn't experienced or known what you've been able to see of who God is. Along with this, one of the other mistakes that we make is that sometimes when we get into this, we're like, okay, I want to find someone who's like half a step behind me. Because when we talk about developing and pouring into people and loving people, one of the things that can happen is that, especially when we phrase it in terms of apprenticeship, what we want to find is we want to find more of a companion who's like maybe like half a step behind, because then we know that it's not going to take very much to get them there. So we're like, okay, good, that's great. But one of the things, and this is a really interesting thing when you look at the New Testament. I don't know if you guys have ever paid attention to this, but Jesus' relationship with Paul, I find intriguing. I find intriguing because Jesus comes on the scene. He begins his public ministry. As he begins his public ministry, he chooses these 12 that he's going to spend the next 3 years with. And he's developing them and building into them for 3 years, getting them ready to go. And to be honest, when they get to the end, it doesn't necessarily look like he was successful. You're still wondering, I don't know if, maybe they needed 6 years. Maybe we just underestimated the time span for these guys because they're still blowing it. Peter looks like he just didn't make it. And so you look at it, it's really intriguing the amount of time that Jesus spends with them. And then you have Paul. And Paul comes along. Paul's trying to destroy the church, trying to kill Christians. Jesus steps into his experience, changes his life. Paul becomes a follower of Christ. And Paul spends 40 days with Jesus. 40 days. And then he comes out of that and changes the whole world. Basically does like as much as the other 12 do combined. Okay? And you look at this, and I think, and the way I talk to leaders about it here at Hoboken Grace is that for when we talk about Timothy's, oftentimes we're all looking for the Paul, right? Where you can spend 40 minutes of your life with them, and then they change the world. We're looking for the people who are ready. We're looking for the people who are there. We're looking for the people where we're not going to have to put up with all the junk that Peter brings. Because Peter brings a lot of junk, and there's a lot of awkward questions and weird conversations, and then he stabs you in the back, and there's all of this stuff with Peter, and so we're looking for that Paul. But the reality is Jesus valued both. And he teaches us to value both. As a matter of fact, he spends time with 11 of those who take longer to develop, and only one of those who develop quickly. He's teaching, you know, don't just look for those who are there. Don't just look for those where it's just, man, we're going to be able to. No. This is about finding people that you're going to invest in, And it, you know, go back to the beginning. What do we say? It's going to take risk. Sometimes it's not going to work out. It's going to take sacrifice. And some of you, even now, you're in one of those relationships, but you're ready to walk away from it because you keep having the same conversation over and over and over again. You're like, I want a Paul where I just say it one time and he just gets it and goes and does it. But they're just having the same conversation over and over and over again. You feel like you're spending your life with Peter. Listen. Don't miss this. In this relationship, okay, it's in this relationship that your recognition of how God loves you will grow more than any other, because you'll be sitting there and you're talking to that person and you're like, I think we've had this conversation for 5 years now and nothing has changed, and you're growing frustrated. You're like, I'm just going to give up on you. I'm going to walk away from you. And there's this, and all of a sudden God begins to speak to your heart. And this is the way he usually says it to me. I don't know how he says it to you, but the way he usually says it to me is this. This is what it's like to be your dad, Chris. just to give you a little heads up of what it's like to be your dad. This is what it's like. He says, remember, you know that conversation we keep having over and over and over and over again? And in those moments, your understanding of God's patience and God's grace and God's love will grow unlike any other moment in your life. And all of a sudden, your appreciation will just begin to explode. You say, who do I look for? Don't just look for the ones where you know how it's going to work out. It's safe. No. You find people who are a few steps behind you, and you just begin to pour into them. Pour into them. That's a lie. Another one that I encounter, that I see quite frequently, or that I hear quite frequently, is I don't know how. I don't know how. And this is a real problem because, again, and I didn't even expect it to be as drastic as it is, but as we came into this series, we started talking about mentors, and for so many of us, we've never experienced that. So when it comes to looking at doing this for someone else or being this in someone else's life, we don't know how. How in the world do I do that? But the great thing is that Jesus demonstrates this for us beautifully. Because as Jesus moves into the lives of his followers, he doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to develop you, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put together a curriculum, and we're going to have like a 15 class schedule. We're going to walk through it, and I'll make sure that you're ready to go. As a matter of fact, I love the way Jesus does apprenticeship. Some people don't like it that much, but I enjoy it. I understand why he enjoys it. What Jesus does most of the time is he's like, you're not ready for this, but go try it. And then we'll talk about it afterwards. And he just kind of throws them in. And I'll tell you, people don't always enjoy it. I tend to do this with my staff, and they don't always appreciate it, but it's very good at helping people learn. And so that's what he does. And it's amazing how he demonstrates this for us, because he doesn't say, okay, here's all this classroom time. And there's times where he teaches, but most of the time how he teaches is this. Come on, let's go. We're going to go do this. There's only one time in all of the New Testament that I can find where Jesus does ministry alone. And that's the woman at the well, because the disciples had to go get something to eat. The rest of the time that you see him doing ministry, he does it with the Timothys along for the ride. And all along the way, he's like, come on, let me show you what I do. Let me tell you why I do it. Let me tell you why we just did that way. Let me tell you what. And he's just inviting them into the journey with him. And he demonstrates for us perfectly what it looks like. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's just, come on, come along with me. And they're teaching, I think the New Testament is teaching us, you need to develop this circle. You don't need to make it complicated. You're not going to be an expert. You know, just invite people along for the journey. Some of you are in a dinner group. You just need to find somebody who's not and say, hey, come on, come along with me. Come along with me. Let me tell you why we do this and what it's about and get you involved in this. And some of you are serving. You just need to find someone who's not. Say, hey, come along with me. Come along with me. You don't have to join the team. That's all right. We'll just serve together, and then you can decide whether or not you want to be a part of it later. But just come along with me. Let me show you why I do it and why I wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning to be able to be here. And it's about more than just making sure that people have coffee. It's about loving people and what God's done for me and how I've experienced Christ. And you see, it's just, Jesus is demonstrating. It's just come along with me. Some of you have friends who don't know what Marcy's talking about, don't know that God's pursuing them. You just need to step into their life and say, come along with me. I love the story that was shared at my grandfather's funeral, and they were talking, and they kind of opened it up for people to be able to share how he'd impacted people's lives. And there was one person that, to be honest, no one in the room really knew this story, but he stood up and he began to share, and he said that, you know, in his life he'd walked away from God, didn't really want anything to do with God, but my grandfather continued to kind of invite him into this with him. Until one day, he said, I had every excuse in the world of why I couldn't do it or why I wouldn't do it. And he said, until one day, he just called me and said, it was Sunday morning, he just called me and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just sitting here having a coffee. He said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I said, what do you mean you'll be here? I'll be there to pick you up in 10 minutes. We're going to go to church. And then my grandfather hung up, so he couldn't say no. Changed that guy's life. He went on to talk about how he came to know Christ. It wasn't complicated. My grandfather's just like, come on. Just come on. Come on. Come on. You need to step into someone's life and just say, come on. Come on. It doesn't need to be this formal, right? You don't need to write out a contract. Okay, I'm your mentor now. And I'm going to... No. It's just find someone who's a few steps behind you. Say, come on. Come on. Invite them into the journey with you, along the journey with you. And then there's the last one. Sometimes I'll be having the conversation with people and they'll say to me, I don't have anything to offer. And even as we've been talking through this, for some of you are sitting there thinking, I don't have anything to offer. I'm going to challenge you on this a little bit and be a little bit, a little harsh, if you will. Let me just tell you what you're saying when you say that. When you say, I don't have anything to offer, at the core of it, what you're saying is that God hasn't given you anything valuable. For the world around you. And if you have experienced God's love, if you've stepped into this relationship with God, and you've experienced the beauty of what it means to be loved by Him in any way, shape, or form, you've experienced the reality that Marcy talks about. Even if you just experienced it yesterday, God has given you the amazing gift of knowing what it means to be forgiven. He's given you the amazing gift of the message of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you know this or not, but it is the most valuable thing that you will ever have to offer. And you have it now. Do not undervalue what God has given you. Do not sell it short. Do not hide behind a false humility in it. It is not true that you do not have anything to offer. You have a tremendous amount to offer, and the world around you needs it. Some of you are surrounded by people who need the wisdom that God has allowed you to gain over years of experience in multiple different situations and circumstances, but you continue to buy into the idea that you don't have anything to offer and you are selfishly robbing the people around you. Of what God has given you. Do not undervalue what God has given you. Value it and give it to someone else. On this journey, God's calling us to develop a circle of mentors, advisors, people that will speak into us, companions who are along this journey with us, and then mentees, Timothys, people that we're investing in. Not that we think that we're better, but in Philippians it says, no, consider others as better than yourself. This isn't about a pride thing. No. It's just I've been given this gift, and I just want to give it to someone else. I'm just going to give it to someone else. Now, my fear in this, and my fear as we walk through this series, is that, again, this will be something that we buy into intellectually, but it won't play out practically. And we'll walk out and say, man, that was a great series. That's a great series. And people will say that to me even after we followed after the first series. People will say, that's a great series. And I'm just thinking in my head, I hope that translates to more than just words. Please, God, let that translate to more than just words. And so what we've done is we put together a worksheet. It's something that we're going to come back to over and over again here at Hoboken Grace. Hopefully as you walked in, you received it. If you didn't, you can talk to the greeters about that afterwards and get one. But on here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining it. It's really self-explanatory. It's really easy. But here's my challenge to you as we bring this series to a close. Okay, because from here on out, the ball's in your court. And you have to take it and run with it. And inside of dinner groups is a great place to do that. I hope that you'll do that. We're going to practice this in our groups this week. But here's what I want you to do. I just want you to spend time this week, set aside a time. It just needs to be 15 minutes where you say, I'm going to sit down. And the first thing that you need to do is you need to look at where are you now? So when it comes to the Paul, and you see there's a who, how, and why. When it comes to the Pauls and the Barnabases and the Timothys in your life, right? Where are you now? And the first thing is to evaluate it. What do the circles look like now? And then coming out of that, to be able to sit down and as you're praying through this with God, to be able to say, okay, what area do I need to take a step in the most? So what area are you weakest in? And you may say, my whole sheet's going to be empty. Okay, if your whole sheet's going to be empty, start with trying to find a Paul. Someone that you can seek out, that you can seek advice from, because they'll help you to be able to fill the rest of the sheet. But where are you now? What's the next step? If your sheet's empty, don't say, you know what, by the end of next month, I'm going to fill that sheet. No, you're not. And you'll quit along the way. One step. We don't grow like that. We take one step at a time. Where are you? What's the next step that you need to take? And it's just really simple. Who? So who's the person? How? How are you going to do that? How are you going to create time for it? How are you going to make it a priority? Right? I'm going to meet with them once a month. I'm going to meet with them once a quarter. I'm going to meet, right? If you're looking for an advisor, don't write you're going to meet with them every week. Okay? That's too much. And one of you will quit. And maybe there's exceptions to that. Okay? I understand that. But it's better if you don't. But then what, and then why is, okay, why are you pursuing this person? What do you see in them? How do you want them to speak into you? What do you really value in that relationship? Right? And so what I want to encourage you to do is to take that and to be able to find, okay, where am I now? And then what's my next step? And then after you find that next step, I want you to do one last thing. I want you to take out a highlighter and I want you to highlight the person on that sheet who's going to be the person that you allow to know you. To know you. And the dream is that as we begin to develop this, that the people that are a part of our circles, that these will be people who know us. But it starts with one. It starts with one. One step. It starts with one. Who are you going to allow to know you? May we be a family, a church, a community in which the love of Jesus Christ is demonstrated by the way in which we love each other. Because we follow him and what he's called us to. And we trust him and what he's challenged us with. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this and as we look at what you're leading us into and how you're teaching us to engage community, Father, I pray that we would be able to move past those lies, to leave behind the lies that we're not ready or we don't know enough, that we would just accept what you've called us to, which is to take what we've been given and give it to someone else, to literally live out what we see in 2 Timothy 2:2, that we just take, okay, what have I been given? What have I experienced of God and know of God, and how do I just hand that off to someone else? Father, I pray that we wouldn't just know this, but that we would practice it. And more than anything, I pray that as a result, that the beauty of your love would be known not just by those who are in this room, but would be known by the cities that surround us here today because of how we follow you and loving each other. In Jesus' name, amen.